Welcome to the Why We Build podcast. Join Steve Wheeler and our host, Greg Waller, to explore the world of remodeling. Whether you're on the production team, design team, or managing the whole show, you can expect insights, tips, and stories that inspire and educate. So let's dive into the Why We Build podcast.
Welcome to the Why We Build podcast. I am Greg Wallach. Steve Wheeler is on the road this week with one of our amazing roundtable groups. Now, if you've ever felt like running your remodeling company is a lonely climb, you're not alone. The truth is most owners, production managers, design managers, they eventually hit a wall where they realize there has got to be a better way to grow. That's where peer groups come in. They're not a networking club, but they are a true board of advisors made up of people who live the same challenges you do every day. Now, I'll admit my bias up front. I work for Remodeler's Advantage, and roundtables are a big part of what we do. But that bias comes from experience, not just from my job title. Long before I joined RA, I worked for two remodeling companies that were part of the Roundtables program. I saw firsthand what it looks like when an owner comes back from a meeting with a notebook full of ideas and re-energized to start implementing them. I saw how accountability from peers, not just employees, changes everything. The conversation shift from what went wrong to what we'll do better next time. Now, later on, as a consultant working with companies from all over the country, I started to see the difference between those who had a peer group and those who didn't. The ones in groups had perspective. They didn't feel like they were the only ones fighting fires or trying to figure out margins or people problems alone. They had sounding boards, best practices, and encouragement. They grew faster and led better. So yes, I'm biased, but it's because I've watched peer groups transform businesses from the inside out. They help remodelers get out of their own heads, build confidence in their decisions, and remember why they started this crazy and wonderful business in the first place. And that's why I wanted to have this conversation today, to talk about what happens when remodelers stop trying to figure it all out alone and instead surround themselves with people who understand the journey. Now, my guest today is someone who plays a huge role in helping remodelers take that step, connecting them to the community, the accountability, and the growth that comes from joining a peer group. She's the person many of our members first talk to when they begin exploring Remodeler's Advantage roundtables. And she brings a unique blend of competitive drive, leadership, and real-world remodeling experience to that work. So Bailey Heather grew up in North Dallas, where her passion for volleyball turned into a lifelong lesson in teamwork and leadership. That drive earned her a scholarship to Fort Lewis College, where she played collegiate volleyball and graduated cum laude with a degree in economics. Now, after college, Bailey and her high school sweetheart, now husband, both continued their athletic journeys before marrying in 2024. She went on to earn her master's degree in sports management and coaching at the Rome City Institute in Italy, where she also played volleyball at a high level. Living and studying abroad deepened her appreciation for teamwork, coaching, and communication across cultures, skills that now show up in how she builds relationships every day. When she returned to the U.S., Bailey joined her family's residential modeling business, spending 5 years immersed in sales, design, and marketing. That hands-on experience in the remodeling world eventually led her to Remodeler's Advantage, where she now serves as the enrollment manager. In her role, she helps remodeling professionals from the right peer group fit, connecting them to the kind of community and accountability that helps great businesses become even better. Bailey, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Greg.
It's really great to have you here. In your own words, tell us a little bit about your journey, please.
Well, you hit all the high points. So, I grew up in North Dallas. And honestly, if you had told me that one day I'd be back working with remodelers across the U.S. and Canada, I probably wouldn't have believed you. My path has been a little winding, playing collegiate volleyball and studying abroad in Italy, and eventually coming back to work in my family's remodeling company doing sales, design, and marketing. So it's been a little winding.
So when you look back, you know, what experiences shaped how you approach teamwork and growth today?
Each of those experiences shaped how I think about teamwork and growth. Sports taught me discipline, trust, leadership, and how to thrive within a team environment. Studying abroad stretched me. It forced me to adapt and to listen, to understand new perspectives. And I mean, working inside my family remodeling business gave me a deep respect for the pace and the pressure that remodelers live with every day. It's a people first, problem solving industry, and I carry that perspective into everything I do now.
Say more about the family business. Our last episode, we actually interviewed a second gen who's going to be taking over her family's business. Gates Bryan, I think you met her at Remodeler Summit as well. Tell me about the family business and what you guys do there.
Yeah, so it is a residential remodel design business in the north part of Dallas. And I was working with my brother and my dad, who are still working towards that same goal. It's called Longacre Construction. And they are currently members of Remodelers Advantage. And so that's how I was introduced into this world. Working with family is complicated and deep and rewarding all in the same swoop.
Absolutely. So what was the decision, what was the driving factor behind you coming to Remodeler's Advantage and actually getting out of the day-to-day design build work?
It was really impactful for me to see what peer groups and the education across the remodeling industry does for these business owners, because they no longer feel like they're on an island. Running their business in the day-to-day, you can feel like you're facing the same problems and you're doing it with the same people or the lack of the same people. And I love the idea of building a community that you can lean on and work towards your goals.
Now that you're on the inside, what's something about the roundtable's experience that surprised you or something you didn't expect?
What really stood out was, like I said, the power of the peer when remodelers sit down and be really transparent about their numbers and their struggles and even their wins. It's not just a surface level networking group. It's a real accountability and community. And even after joining the team, I was surprised about how quickly relationships form. People walk into that first meeting as strangers and leave with a group of peers that they can call at midnight for advice. And that depth of trust is something that people don't expect.
That's one of the things I've seen as well, is just how quickly you can become a trust partner or someone in your group that just resonates with you and you can share right away. We're so lucky that we have the exposure to all of these groups, but it is, I think it happens at the tactical level groups, it happens at the owner level groups, and it really is something that's remarkable, I think, in the whole process. Now, for someone who's never really heard of Remodeler's Advantage roundtables, how do you describe them?
The simplest way to describe roundtables is this. It's a community of non-competing remodelers who come together to share their numbers and strategies, challenges, and with the goal of helping each other grow. So it's not networking where you swap business cards. It's not a one-on-one coaching situation. It's more of a blend where the accountability of sharing those finances and the creativity of brainstorming with peers and the support of people who really understand your world.
So I find when I'm talking to our members, whether again it's tactical or owners, one of the responses I generally get is a bit of relief that other companies are also dealing with the same sorts of things. So when you are talking to a potential client, a potential member, what is it they are looking for generally, and what are they struggling with?
Most remodelers I talk to are looking for clarity. They want to grow but feel stuck. Maybe margins are thin and they're buried in day-to-day operations, or leadership might feel lonely. And my role is to listen closely and help them match with the group where they feel challenged, but also supported, because no matter where they're from, big city, small town, US or Canada, remodelers have so much in common, and it's usually a passion for craftsmanship, dedication to their clients, and the constant juggle between growth and balance.
Sometimes I find folks are looking for a curriculum or some sort of program, but I feel pretty strongly that it's really not about us as much as it is about their peers. How do you share that with people?
I say the exact same thing. A lot of these programs you'll find have a curriculum, and you're there to take notes and listen to a lecture. And I really boast that our power comes from the authenticity of being in a peer roundtable and having those tough conversations.
The conversations can certainly get tough, and that, you know, that brings us to this, the human side. Maybe it's emotional intelligence. I think that's the thing that everyone's talking about now. Success stories. I know, I mean, your family was in it. I know I worked for two companies, but, you know, share something that you've learned, you know, in the last, you know, 6 or 8 months that has really kind of shaped your perception of the groups, and maybe something you share with a potential member.
Yeah, one of my favorite stories is a company that joined feeling overwhelmed and unsure if they could really keep up. And within a year, they had completely turned around. They had tighter processes and stronger margins. And most importantly, they had a leader who felt confident again. And so that's when I start to reflect and say, that's why we do this. Somebody who feels like they're no longer on that island. And lately, like you said, I've noticed more second generation leaders stepping in and younger remodelers who want to build smarter from the start. So watching someone go from hesitant to fully invested in their group is one of my favorite parts. And you really see that light bulb moment when they realize, I don't have to do this alone.
That's a powerful statement for sure. You know, I don't know, had the company I worked for not been a member, I would probably still have that mindset of, I got to do it myself. I got to figure it out. But luckily, you know, 20 years ago or so, I was exposed to it in a little different version, but I certainly got to experience that as well. So one of the things, we'll call it a pushback I get when I'm talking to owners about getting their members into the tactical groups, which is production manager and design manager, they all go to the ROI, you know, what's the return on their investment? And sometimes it's really hard for me anyway, to put a dollar amount on that. Sometimes I look at, geez, if we could protect 1 or 2% of your revenue and you're a $2 million company, that's a lot of money that would get applied to the net profit. From your perspective, what is the biggest return someone can get from joining a peer group? And it doesn't have to be financial, because I do think, I'm showing you my bias here, but I do think there are other things behind or besides the dollars and cents that have an impact.
I completely agree. I say a very similar thing. If we can protect 1 to 2% of your profit, that's great. But the biggest ROI that we see isn't financial. It's usually confidence. When you got 50, you know, up to 10 other remodeling companies looking at your number and challenging you and asking tough questions, you make sharper decisions. On the remodeling side, I remember how lonely leadership could feel. And now I see how quickly that isolation disappears when you join a peer group and even build those one-on-one relationships within your peer group. And you start building a friendship with them, and you text them, and you build a community, like we keep saying. And they walk away with ideas, yes, but they also walk away with people that they trust in their corner.
So you and I each share seats on the same sales team, because that's you know, your primary role. It's part of my role here. And sometimes, you know, we're talking to remodelers, the same people year after year, and then they finally join and it's life changing. What do you think prevents a remodeler from joining, and why the heck do they take so long to join our group?
Yeah, why does some wait? Honestly, it's fear. Fear of transparency, fear of change. But the ones that do take the leap almost always say that they had wished they'd done it sooner. And if you're thinking, I'm not ready, that's usually a sign that you are ready, because waiting doesn't make those challenges just go away.
Yes, that's another objection we get a lot, is if I just get my numbers to this point, then I'll be able to join. And I just wish people know that we're going to help them. Your peers are going to help you get to that point. What are you telling them? Probably a similar story, but you know, how do you handle that? You know, this isn't a sales podcast, but how do you handle that objection?
I ask questions to really understand where their struggle lies, and if those struggles are just objections to push this can along the road and not be willing to make those changes, or are they sincere and you really are in a place to make it work? Because it does take a commitment of time and resources and travel. So if you, all those things are checking the boxes and you're really just having second guesses if you're really ready for that change, then I really want to understand what those are. So I ask those questions and understand and try to phrase it in a way that makes sense.
Yeah. What's going to be different in 6 months from now? You're going to be probably further in debt. Your processes are going to be further, you know, just, you know, we'll get you in a group right away and you know, we'll get you going. We've got, you know, that's actually the next thing I want to talk about, is the enrollment process. When someone decides to join, they give you the yes. What's the process for them?
So when someone reaches out, the first conversation isn't always just about getting them signed up for a roundtable. It's more about listening and understanding their goals, their pain points, what they'd like life to look like in a year or two. And so we talk about, what's your structure of company? What's your org chart look like? What are you doing in terms of revenue? What project management software do you use? All kinds of inner workings within your company and where your profit is at. And are you comfortable with that profit? Are you doing well, right? Like, is business going well, or what are you struggling with? A lot of times it's marketing. And so from there, we look at the right fit. I get a better idea of their personality, what their growth goals are, how their business is operating. And from there, we can look at group size and what market they're in. And like I said, that personality mix. And so my job is to make sure they land in a room where they'll thrive.
How about when they just join, we have a program that helps them get up to speed. Tell me more about that.
Absolutely. So once you decide you're ready for roundtables, we get you started with a 6-week jump start. And it is on Tuesdays for 2 hours for 6 weeks. And we really get you up to date with some of our terminologies, our definitions, what our financial templates look like. And by the end of it, we'll do a mock roundtable and make sure that you are prepared to go into your first meeting and show up as a great roundtables member.
I've been part of those mock roundtables, and they're a blast. I mean, I love facilitating. I love, you know, being with our members for sure. But that level, these folks that are just getting into it, it's a pretty fun time for sure. Is there any misconceptions, anything that comes up repeatedly in a call that you want to clear up about the roundtables program?
A misconception that I hear would be that roundtables are maybe only for big remodelers. And while that's not true, it's not about size, it's about the fit. So we have companies of all scales, and what unites them is their goals and their drives to improve.
So we do have a revenue minimum. How do you explain that to companies?
Oftentimes, I mean, we have a minimum revenue of $1.5 million. And so that really means you're operating at a level within your company where you have a little bit of an org chart build out, you've got a little bit of a team, and that you're producing high quality projects.
So we'll talk a little bit about our culture. I think we have a really good culture here. And you know, your background in sports, you know, where the teamwork, you know, the spirit of teamwork, how does that show up into RA? Now, your background in sports, I can attest to being on the opposite side of a pickleball spike when you thought we were playing volleyball. And, you know, I survived it. So you're competitive. I know that about you. But the teamwork aspect of things, volleyball is not a you know, solo sport. It's definitely a team sport. How do we apply those things here at RA?
Yeah, the RA family is real. I love being a part of it. And you feel it at every meeting and every summit. And it's a culture of collaboration, not competition. So people genuinely want to see each other succeed. And I love seeing members that light up when they want to help others succeed. And that really drives me, because for me, sports taught me that when your team wins, everyone wins. Volleyball is a team sport. You can't just be the only winner on your team. So that's the same spirit I see here at RA. And the success in my role is when a remodeler calls me months later and says, this group changed my business. It changed me as a leader. And so looking ahead, I'm excited to see where we're headed, more resources, more ways to connect virtually and in person, and the new generations of remodelers stepping into leadership with the backing of this community. And the future of peer learning in this industry is bright. So I'm just thrilled to be a part of it.
So in a very cooperative way, what does success look like for you in your role and for our members?
Success for me looks like placing a great member in a great community group that's a great fit for them, and they can, you know, get challenged a few times. Those first couple meetings are going to be tough, but that means they're walking away with stuff that goes home and changes them. So I just want to make sure that they feel heard and understood so that they could get fit strategically, but also come back and tell me, like, a success would be someone telling me that this group changed my life and my business.
So we just came back from Denver, Bloomfield, Colorado, for our Remodeler Summit 2025. Next year, we'll be in Orlando. We're really excited about the things that are coming up here for RA and where it is headed. What's exciting you the most about the trajectory we're on here at Remodeler's Advantage?
I think for me, being about 5 months into my role, each and coming back from my first summit and really getting thrown in and meeting all of our members and understanding what interacting as a part of the community looks like from a different perspective, I'm just excited to keep moving forward and keep bringing on new members and keep meeting our current members that are just superstars, and just fully integrating myself into knowing who our members are, and so that I could point some new members in the right direction of mentorship and just building that community bond.
Any feedback on this last summit? What did you take away? Your first summit as an employee, you made our marketing materials from the year before. You were in San Diego. Your picture was everywhere. What was it like being an employee at the summit?
Yeah, so I've been to the last three summits in total, in Chicago and San Diego, and now in Colorado. And it definitely was a new perspective being on this side and seeing how the back operates. RA works really hard to put on a successful event, and this one did feel a little bit more intimate, right, because of the sizes, but it felt very intentional still. It felt very directed to what we believe remodelers need, and the feedback has been great, in my opinion. Remodelers have told us exactly that. They felt the vendors were really intentional. The education was right on topic with what is trending and what they're bringing home. So I know next year will be even better because we'll get a bigger audience in Orlando. And I'm just excited to have the roundtables meetings line up with Summit and just get the whole community out there.
It will be great. Every year we tend to do the production manager meetings at the summit, but next year, owners, production manager, design manager, any other group we want to create, we'll try and have a meeting for you in Orlando. I think that's going to be great. Now, this is usually the part where we call it hammer time with Steve Wheeler, but Steve is off facilitating right now in owners group. So I'm going to do my best to take this segment here. These are just fun questions. I have not fed them to you ahead of time. I know sometimes we recorded some debate season ones and people were concerned that we were feeding questions. Clearly we're not. So just have fun with this.
All right, I'm ready.
I'm not saying you're not skilled in home improvement, but if you could be amazing at any home improvement skill, what would it be and why?
Tile is so aesthetically pleasing to me. I'll watch videos of tilers on social media. So I'm okay. Going to go with tile.
Tile. All right.
Like all mosaics right. And such. Gorgeous.
Good stuff. So you lived and studied in Italy. What's one thing Americans should learn from Italians about work or life?
They have a great work-life balance. I enjoyed being a part of my Italian volleyball team because they were all Roman women who, I mean, I had a doctor, a podiatrist, a lawyer, a teacher, women with full-time careers who also chose to play volleyball and be on this competitive team where we took it very seriously, but they also had a full life and it was also a social aspect. And so I felt like I learned a whole round of what that looks like to be Italian and live in their work-life balance. So I think that we could definitely learn from that.
Who would play you in the movie version of your life?
Let me see. I don't know. I want to say Lindsay Lohan.
Okay. All right. The good stuff, I'm hoping.
The good stuff, yeah. Like Lindsay Lohan from when I was a teenager.
Okay. So you're pulling, you fly into BWI and you're riding to the office, and get out, and they're playing your walk-up song. What music are we playing that's going to get you hyped up as you walk into the office in Linthicum Heights?
In Linthicum Heights, my walk-up music is probably hip-hop or pop-related. I've got a variety. I like reggae. I like country music. I like hip hop. But if we're talking, I'm going to go walk into some sales meeting. Like I'm walking into the court. It's going to be like J. Cole or even Tupac or okay. someone fun, high, upbeat, something like that.
All right. Very good. And finally, if you could have dinner with any three people, living or dead, who's at your table and what's on the menu?
Oh, three people and what's on the menu. Okay. I said this in a roundtables meeting and everyone judged me for it, but I'm still gonna go with it. Michelle Obama. And let me see who else. And we're gonna be eating steak and French fries, steak frites.
Okay.
All right, and some Caesar salad. So yeah, Michelle Obama and maybe, this is a tough question.
It is. They're supposed to be.
Who plays, can't have to edit this. Who plays The Devil Wears Prada?
Anne Hathaway?
No, the other lady.
Oh yeah.
It was Meryl Streep.
Meryl Streep. Okay.
Okay. Yes. So Meryl Streep and Michelle Obama and let's think. Maybe it's not all.
Could be Tupac.
Yeah, let's go Tupac. All right.
That's good. That's a good one.
That's a good dinner.
Well, that's awesome. I love those answers. And thank you for playing along. It's a pretty fun, I think it's a fun segment and we get all kinds of crazy answers. So as we're going to wrap this up, could you give one piece of advice to a remodeler who feels stuck or isolated? And what would that be?
My advice for a remodeler would probably be to don't just build projects, build processes. So it's easy to get caught up in managing one job at a time, but real growth comes when you do take that step back and create some repeatable systems. So a clear sales process, a consistent way to track costs and your margins, and a rhythm for communication between your teams and clients. So projects will always be unique, but processes make your results predictable.
Very good. Last question. How can listeners get in touch with you to learn more about roundtables, learn more about Bailey?
Yeah. So if you want to go on the website and fill out a contact form, you'll find me directly there, or you can send me an email, bailey@remodelersadvantage.com.
Bailey, thank you so much for spending some time with us today. I'm excited to have you here. You're a wonderful addition to the team, and I'm just looking forward to the future.
Thanks, Greg. I'm looking forward to the future too, and so happy to be on the team.
Right on. And I want to thank the listeners once again, the Why We Build podcast. Give us a listen, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, anywhere you get your podcasts. Thanks again.
That's it for this episode of the Why We Build podcast. Hope you found something valuable to take back to your team. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to subscribe and leave a review. Please send in your ideas for future episodes. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you on the next one. If you want more information about our roundtables program, production manager groups, design manager groups, consulting services, or any of the Remodelers Advantage offerings, please visit remodelersadvantage.com or email Greg@remodelersadvantage.com.